because otherwise it's going to be a bit silly. Okay, everybody, thank you very much and welcome. My name is Andrew Miller from Business Enjoyment, and thank you for coming to this, well, I guess it's the first session of the different form of breathing space, which is called Strive, made up of Survive and Thrive. So as you know, we're going to be running something every week, one sort or another. It's going to be fairly loose, can be different each time. Who knows what it's going to be? But because of various reasons and because of where we are, Kate volunteered to run a little session on our behalf on how to stay sane during the lockdown period. And tips and things on that front. So predominantly today is going to be Kate. I'll be handing it over to her in a minute. I will be recording the show. I'm recording it. So I'll try and get that into the Facebook group. If you think everybody is, well, if you're not a member of the Facebook group, go and find Breathing Spaces in groups and ask to become a member. And you can get a copy of the video. Hopefully, if I get my technical skills to work. So what we're going to do, I'll hand over to Kate in a minute, and then she'll run through the presentation. If you've got any questions and answers about Kate's presentation, by all means, stick them into the chat. If I spot anything that I think is particularly salient, I'll dive in and ask the question for you. Otherwise, we'll wait until the end for general question and answers. I expect, we'll see how it goes, but Kate's presentation probably lasts about 30 to 40 minutes, somewhere around that region, depending how things go, and then a bit of chat. If anybody's got any questions that outside of Kate's thing or more broader, relevant to yourself, relevant to the other environments go on, they want to ask me or other people, then we'll hopefully have a little bit of time at the end to throw those in. And again, by all means, put that in the chat as we go along. In the meantime, I will try and find Kate, who is there, and I've hopefully unmuted Kate. So I will shut up and I'll leave you in the capable hands of Kate Thought. Over to you, Kate.
Thank you very much. Can everyone hear me okay? Just give a thumbs up. Lovely. Okay. Smashing. Right. Now this is just going to stretch my technological gifts, which are quite few and far between actually. What I'm hoping is that you can see a screen with a heading slide on it called Looking After Yourself During Lockdown. Can you give me? Lovely. It's working so far. Brilliant. One thing at a time. I put this presentation together because, let's face it, the world's just kind of been turned upside down and we're all reeling a little bit. And I just wanted to put together some ideas and thoughts as to what we can all do on a very practical basis to help us get through this time with our mental health and our emotional well-being largely intact. And that's a difficult challenge because we're all experiencing this lockdown and this pandemic in different ways. So bear with me, but that's the purpose of today. So I do hope that that this gives you some thought or idea or inspiration as to some maybe minor tweaks that you make in your daily life that can, as I say, help us get through this a little bit easier. Very briefly, who I am. I'm a therapist and therapeutic coach. I specialize in stress and anxiety related issues for two reasons. Partly, I've been a lifelong sufferer of anxiety, so I know what that's all about. And also, I know what it's like to manage and recover from it, and it's pretty life changing. So I have a very personal connection with these kinds of things, and that's why I love to help others with them now. I have a whole corporate background that's really not relevant right now. I practice a lot of collaborative therapy, talking therapies face to face. Not anymore, of course. It's now online through Zoom, like many of us have had to shift our businesses. And I work with organizations. But that's just to put a little bit of context into that. And enough of that. So I think it's helpful to understand just where we were. And where we were a little bit over a month ago, maybe 5 or 6 weeks ago, it's not that long away, is a different place than where we are right now. And where we were was actually quite a difficult time already. And I just want to put that into some context. Where we were is a situation where more than 500,000 workers were suffering from work-related stress. That's work-related stress. That's not stress anything to do with families or relationships or kids. It's work-related stress. And 12.8 million working days were lost due to stress in that last year. To put that into context, if one person were to take all of that time off and take it for the team, they would be absent for 35,000 years plus an extra lifetime for good measure. So that's a lot of time off. That was already the case. Okay. And the reason that I mention this is to illustrate this next point. This comes from a well-being survey from the Junior Lawyers Division, and I'm not going to go through it all, but what's really important is this top statistic, put my teeth in, which tells us that while 48% of the respondents to this survey were suffering from mental ill health in the month previous, less than one in five people actually reported it. So what this tells us is that we already have a situation where there is a lot of stress, a lot of anxiety, a lot of depression-related issues in our lives, but it's very much underreported. So all the stats in the world are probably not telling us the full story, a bit like the COVID-19 stats right now. And there's a few reasons for that. It's ingrained in our culture, isn't it, that we adopt that stiff upper lip approach. And that, you know, we just keep calm, carry on, have a cup of tea and so on and so forth. Part of that culture is wanting to change, I grant you, but it's a very slow process. And when the shit hits the fan, we just kind of batten down the hatches and we get through, because that's what it's in our culture to do. That's what we're trained to do. That's what we're taught to do. And in our education system, we teach our kids how to do quadratic equations and what the difference is when you put sand in water and salt in water and so on, but we don't teach our kids how to manage their mental health. You know, really useful stuff that we could all do with learning. And this is true not only in primary education, but all the way through our lives when we're learning. So university or on-the-job training or apprenticeships. So nowhere in our lifetimes are we really taught this is how we look after ourselves. And then when we have the culture and we have the education system, it can lead to a certain belief system that tells us that if we have stress or we have emotional unwell-being or we let stress affect us, then it means certain things about us, and usually those things are negative. I would normally throw this question out to the audience, but we're time-pressed. So I'll just give you the four most common answers that I receive when I ask this question, and I wonder if they resonate with you. The truth is, of course, that this is a belief. It's not a true one, actually. It's a load of cobblers. But very often we can have this belief about ourselves, or other people can have this belief about us. So we live in a society, really, that's quite judgmental. And when you put all of that together, it's no surprise that we have this massive stress problem. And that is where we were. Fast forward to today. And guess what? The whole world has changed, and we are now living in a world that is largely unrecognizable than just a few short weeks ago. So on top of all of that, we're now faced with such a massive change of life. This life-threatening disease that's spreading the globe impacted our lives and our livelihoods in immeasurable ways. So we're kind of buffeted around a little bit. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I kind of have to stop and think, whoa, let's just have a reset. What's going on? And I think that's a perfectly natural thing. The world changed slowly. We started with social distancing. And then we were told to self-isolate. And anybody who was vulnerable or over the age of 70 had to isolate themselves for 12 weeks. I mean, this is not something we're used to. Most of us started working from home. If we were lucky, and a lot of us have been unable to work because our jobs have been furloughed, or we simply cannot trade doing the job that we do. Schools then went out, and all of a sudden, my goodness, we're expected to be teachers as well as homeschoolers, as well as parents and business people and so on and so forth. And then we had lockdown, and we don't know how that, how long that is going to continue. Well, it's going to be reviewed next week, but you know, it's anybody's guess what's going to happen. And now we're in a situation where we're stuck at home alone, stuck at home with our nearest and dearest, or stuck at home with our family. And all of those present very different challenges, and I don't need to tell you about those. Then, of course, there's the very real fear that we might catch COVID-19, or we know somebody who has. And if you know someone who is suffering or even worse, I'm sorry, has passed away from this disease. My heart goes out to you. It's a nasty, horrible disease. And it's a very real existential threat to all of us and those that we love. So there's a heck of a lot of that survivalist type worry that's going on at the moment as well. And now we're in the situation where we think we're settling in for the long haul, and we're not quite sure what that's going to look like, because we can't gauge how long that long haul is going to be. The truth is that all of this, change after change, impact after impact, has a massive impact on our mental and emotional stability and our well-being. And it's really important that we don't underestimate that. This is not business as usual, because the changing world leads to a changing you. Our identities have been challenged. Everything that we're doing has to be kind of thrown out the window. And again, with all of this shock after shock, change after change, things happening so quickly that brings new challenges, and we barely have time to recover from the last change before a new one comes along. It is traumatic. And I don't use that word lightly. It's traumatic collectively, and it's traumatic individually, and it's traumatic for everyone. And whether we recognize that doesn't really matter, because we are going through, it's very often the case we don't recognize the trauma when we're going through it. Some of us will bounce back really quickly. Some of us will struggle, and that's, again, quite natural. And the question is, of course, what comes next? After all of this change already, what's going to happen? And so questions that I hear from people that I speak to, how am I going to survive this? Literally, how do I pay my bills? A few weeks ago, it was, how am I going to wipe my bum because there's no toilet roll? How am I going to feed my family? You know, basic existential questions that that are literally about survival. What is the new normal? What does that look like? Are we all going to have bidets installed, for instance? And of course, we know the toilet roll thing is now kind of run by the wayside. But what is the new normal? What is that going to look like? How long is it going to continue for? And who am I? Who am I in this new way of living? And a big question I get is, I'm not sure I should feel this way. And we all have different feelings and emotions in relations to this. Some of us are feeling that anxiety. Some of us are feeling really angry, especially when you know, you might see people breaking the social distancing rules on the news. And you might feel, you know, sad. All the emotions, we're all human beings. We've got all the emotions. And it's not unusual if you're experiencing every single one of them at the same time, which is kind of difficult to handle as well. And some of us who might not have been treated too badly with this thing. Some of us might have experienced a huge upturn in business and never been as busy. There can be a sense of guilt about that as well, because, you know, it's wrong for us to do well out of such a national crisis. So we've got all of this stuff going on. What it means is this. We need to change our thinking. Okay, this is not business as usual. However this situation is impacting you, it's not business as usual. So we need to do something different, and we need to change our mindsets to cope with this new normal, because if we carry on business as usual, we're probably not going to do too well. What that involves, very simply, is starting to pay attention. We need to pay attention to things about ourselves and those that we love that ordinarily we might not have done so. What I want to share with you are some things to look out for, some red flags in terms of thoughts, feelings, and behaviors that will indicate that actually all isn't as it should be, all isn't quite well. And if you notice these things in yourself or your loved ones, that's a real strong indicator we need to do something. We need to take some action. And I'm going to go through some of the things that you can do to help yourself with that. So would that be okay right now if we launch into that side of things? Give me a nod. Brilliant. Thank you so much. I'm really glad you said yes. Otherwise, this would have been a very short presentation. So, excuse me. So what do we need to look out for? Well, there's actually quite a lot. And I'm afraid ultimately, even though the meerkats are cute, this is going to be a bit of a wordy slide. So I'm going to shut up for a moment and just let you read that slide. depending on how quickly you read, you might have already got there or you might still be going through it. But just let me pick a couple of those things out. What you can notice here are things that are changing. So when you notice that your appetite has changed or your digestive system isn't what it used to be, that is a change. That's something that you can pay attention to because that's an indication that something isn't right. If your physical sensitivities are changing, maybe you are suddenly more sensitive to light or sound, or your sense of taste or smell has been altered. That doesn't necessarily mean that you have the virus, but our brain has a way of communicating with us through the body. And it's very easy to ignore those messages and dismiss them as, oh, it's just a bit of a headache. Oh, it's just a one-off. When actually, when you notice those changes keep happening, then it's probably a signal that actually we need to do something different. We need to act on this. Ways that you think, maybe you're noticing that your attention span has gone right down. Maybe you're struggling making really simple decisions, or you're struggling with just daily functioning. Again, foggy thinking, that can be a sign of a bit of overwhelm going on, a sign that actually we just need a timeout. It's a sign that something needs to change. Overthinking, maybe you're feeling a bit edgy, you're not able to relax in an evening, something just doesn't feel right. Feeling disconnected and unreal. I know so many of us have experienced this. The first time I went to the supermarket and saw all the empty shelves in those first weeks, it was a great sense of unreality and it felt very disconnected. That is actually quite a normal feeling for human beings to have, and it's just a way of separating ourselves from the emotion of whatever upset it is that we're experiencing in that moment. And in the short term, it's no bad thing. But if you're noticing that you're feeling disconnected most of the time, if you're feeling a bit numbed out and maybe apathetic, and that's not your usual situation, that is a signal that actually we need to do something. We need to change something. If you're noticing your sleep pattern changing, maybe you're tired all of the time or you can't sleep at all, or something has changed. So a lot of different things there, and I won't go through all of them, but all of these are examples, and it's not an exhausted list, they are examples of early warning signs that that some need is not being met. And not only are these warning signs in you, but these are also signs to look out for in other people, the people around you, your family. So if you notice changes like this in them, it's a sign that something needs paying attention to. So what do we do about it? What can we do about it? Well, we need to take some action. And I want to illustrate some of the actions that we can all take that are really quite simple, but can be very effective in helping us overcome some of those issues. The first one is to start a new habit of checking in. We don't often stop, unless you're a therapist or in the well-being profession, we don't often stop and say, how am I doing? How am I feeling? What's going on? But when you do start checking in with yourself and asking those questions, it's such a useful thing because it helps you set the bar as to what your normal is. And it helps you understand when perhaps you are outside of your normal bandwidth of whatever it is that you're feeling. It's a great skill. I encourage you to start adopting. And when you start adopting something, it can become a habit. The more that you do it, the more it will become a habit. So how can we check in with ourselves in a way that's actually going to have some benefit rather than just asking the question, how am I feeling? Well, the first thing we can start with is called the well-being scale. If you've seen any of my other webinars, you'll have seen me refer to this as the stress scale or the anxiety scale. It really doesn't matter. It's kind of, you know, multi-use tool. On a scale of 0 to 10, what is the intensity of whatever it is you're experiencing right now? And it's subjective. It doesn't matter what other people would give this score. It's what score you give it. So maybe you're feeling apathetic. Maybe you're feeling really angry. On a scale of 0 to 10, where would you put that intensity? With 0 being nothing at all, pina coladas on the beach, everything's fine. 10 being I'm about to go nuclear. This is off the scale, okay? So where would you put your experience of what you're feeling right now? That's a great start. Just to help you understand, well, if I'm a 5 or above, then maybe I need to do something. 4 isn't great, but it might be tolerable. And 3 or down, then we're probably doing okay. And on its own, it's a really useful tool, but you can add to this. You can really add to the efficacy of using this particular tool by thinking about some other aspects of the experience that you are measuring on your scale of 0 to 10. And one of the best ways of doing that is through journaling. So when I say journaling, sometimes I get an eye roll. It's like, what, you want me to keep a diary? You want me to write all my stuff down? No, I don't. If journaling isn't something that you've ever done before, it's really simple. All you need to do is take a fresh notebook and a proper notebook. Don't do this on an iPad or a screen or something. Do it on a proper piece of paper and keep it private. And at the end of the day, we can do it anytime, but at the end of the day, for example, just spend 5 minutes mulling over the day and think, okay, when did I notice a peak of intensity of something? And think back to that moment and measure, where were you on your scale of 0 to 10, and write that number down. There's 4 other things to write down, so 5 in total. The first thing is, what number were you at? The second thing, what were you doing? What was your situation? What was triggering that feeling? And you might know, you might not know, but have a go at putting that down. The third thing to write down is what words were going through your mind. So what were your thoughts? And by words, you can include all the 4-letter ones if that's what takes your fancy. It doesn't have to be a complete sentence. It doesn't have to be grammatically correct. But what words, what thoughts were going through your mind? Write those down. The fourth thing is, what was my body telling me? What do I feel physically in my body at that moment? And it's helpful to really examine your body for sensation, because as I said earlier on, that mind-body connection is so strong. Usually there is something physical happening when we are experiencing an event. So what were you feeling in your body? And then finally, what emotions were you experiencing? And name all of them. Obviously not Fred or George, and unless you'd like to call your emotions that way, but name as many different emotions that you are feeling. And maybe it's just one, but very often we experience more than one emotion at the same time, and that can create conflict and a bit of confusion. So it's helpful to note them down. And that's really all you need to do with journaling. The very act of writing it down in this way is a way of helping you to mentally process that experience, which means it's going to affect you less. But also it's a way of building up a bit of information, because if you do this every day, then what you can find is maybe there are patterns, maybe there are similarities, maybe there are things that are going to scream out to you, this needs to be addressed. It's a way of connecting with yourself and connecting with your brain and body to really hear the messages that that your body is trying to give to you. And it's a way, as I said before, of paying extra attention to yourself. This is also something that you can teach to your kids and family. It's really helpful for kids to do this as well, to help them explore their own thoughts and feelings. Yeah, journaling, it's a wonderful habit to get into, and it can be really, really useful. Communication. So, of course, yes, Kate, you're a therapist. Of course, you're going to say that talking works. And it's true, isn't it? We usually feel better when we're talking, but the way we're communicating now is different. We're not communicating in the same way. We're communicating usually through electronic means. So we do lose a lot of being in the physical energy of somebody else by being in the same room. There's downsides and upsides to that. At the moment, it's any port in a storm. We need to have that communication. It's more important than ever that we communicate well so that we can get through this time, particularly if you're stuck in a house with a lot of other people. And there are conflicting demands on the resources in your home. There can be, I'll talk more about that in a moment, but there can also be a reluctance to start talking about how we're feeling because we're assuming everyone else is feeling the same way. I can guarantee you not everyone is feeling the same way. We are all sharing the experience, but we all react to it differently. So it's okay to talk about it. In fact, it's healthy, and I encourage you to do that, to find someone who is safe that you can speak to and have a chat with. But communicating about needs and boundaries in the home, really, really important. Because when we communicate with each other, we're connecting. And the way that we stay connected now, again, as we said a moment ago, it's different, isn't it? We're not connecting in the same way. Normally, when I give talks about well-being, I say reduce your usage of technology. Not so now. Absolutely the opposite. The danger that we have with all of this technology is we become so used to it. It can be overwhelming for the brain, but at the moment, it's really the only way that we can stay in touch. So it's the lesser of two evils. But what I want to do is to show you some ways that you can stay healthy while you remain connected with other people. And let's face it, at the moment, the connection that we're having, we're consuming news through so many different avenues. We're hearing what's going on through social media, as well as emails, WhatsApp, Skype, Zoom, FaceTime, Xbox, all of that stuff. The danger is this, and this is why I normally advise easing back from technology, is that we can just remain plugged in constantly. And that's not great, because this kind of a situation leads to overwhelm. It leads to so much happening. And if you're now in a situation where you're working from home using all of your electronic tools to do that, and you're communicating using all the electronic tools as well, then this sense of overwhelm can get very real. So yes, we need to communicate. We need to be careful how we do that. Yes, we need to stay connected. But here's how you might stay connected in a healthy way when we are so reliant on the technology. So the very first thing is to notice when you're feeling overwhelmed. Notice when you're feeling that slight edginess and consider, how much technology have I been using today, and maybe I can take a break. Having some unplugged downtime is great. If you're able to go for some exercise every day, at the moment we're still allowed to do that. Are you going out with your phone in your hand? Are you going out with your headphones in? Are you listening to podcasts? I encourage you to take your exercise time or your outside time without being plugged into the to the internet, to actually experience being outside and have that unplugged time. Turning off your notifications is a brilliant thing. I did this last year for Facebook and LinkedIn, and it was like freedom. Because I don't wonder if you've noticed that if you get a notification on your phone, the temptation is just to, oh, I'll just have a little look. And of course, not only distracts us from what we're doing, but it keeps us going back to the technology. It keeps us plugged in. It keeps that momentum going. So turning off those notifications, checking in with your emails and your social media when you choose, is a great way of taking back your power over the technology. You can also avoid virus conversation. If you've just had enough of the whole situation, let's say no. Let's not talk about COVID-19. Let's not talk about lockdown. Let's choose what we talk about. Let's choose how we connect and talk about things that are going to be beneficial rather than things that are just going to wind us up. You can also choose who you connect with. And you can see the phrase energy vampires on there. For those who haven't come across an energy vampire, then I envy you. But an energy vampire, for those who aren't familiar with the term, is somebody who drains your energy, who after you've spent time with them, you think, oh my God, I'm so tired. Somebody who brings you down, somebody who sucks the joy out of life. And most of us have this kind of person in our life to some extent. This is not a time to indulge energy vampires. This is a time to indulge yourself. So if you're finding that your energy is being drained by others, you have a choice to not interact with them. And I encourage you to exercise that power of choice. And of course, limit the news consumption. There's so much news around at the moment, but it can be overwhelming. So that's about staying connected. When we're living on top of each other at home, we sometimes need to take a time out. But it can be difficult, especially when there are lots of people in the home. So here are some ways, potentially, depending on the resources available to you, that you might be able to take a bit of time out while not necessarily leaving the home. The first one assumes that you actually have spare space in your home. You may not, I get that, but if you do, whether it's a garage or it's a spare room or a room that's not used very much, maybe designate that a timeout room. Have a rota, go and spend some time in it so that you are not constantly with the other people in your home if you're finding that that is winding you up. It's a free space just to go and do something that is yours. If you don't have the luxury of a spare room, then you can use the bedrooms as a timeout room and just say, I'm having a timeout. And safety people, that's what you're doing. You can agree the ground rules in the home that when we have a timeout sign on the door, we do not disturb. If you share a bedroom with somebody, or if your kids share bedrooms and they want some alone time, then again, have a bit of a rota going on. Whatever resources you have, just try and think creatively about how you can carve out that little bit of time for yourself. And of course, this goes hand in hand with setting boundaries. So we were talking earlier about communicating our boundaries. Really important to do this when you are living with people in your household and there isn't the usual escape routes. So giving everyone a forum to talk about what their boundaries are, as well as what yours are, can be helpful. If we can get agreement, it's far better than arguing, obviously. And ensuring that the household respects the needs of everyone else in the household. And again, we do that with boundaries and communication. And I know that seems really simple and straightforward, but having a conversation about it beforehand and setting those boundaries can be easier than dealing with the aftermath of everybody yelling at each other. Meditation app. The reason I say this is, again, we're coming back to the technology, but if there is a lot of noise around you, if it's difficult to find time on your own, then plugging into a meditation app can actually be a bit of an escape. So if you're able to find a bit of space in the home, close your eyes, plug in. It's a way of helping your brain de-stress, calm down, and reap the benefits of meditation. There's some free apps out there. One of them, I think, is called Calm. There's some paid ones. Headspace is good. Different meditations for different purposes. And if you're not used to meditating, there are some really good ones in there to help get you started. If you have a garden, make full use of it. It kind of goes without saying, doesn't it? But we don't all have a garden. If you live in a block of flats, maybe you're fortunate enough to have a balcony. Well, get out there and look outside rather than inside. And if you don't have a garden or a balcony, then look out the window. Just gazing out of the window and noticing what you can see in the distance changes your outlook, and it gives your brain something else to focus on rather than looking inward. And of course, open the windows if you can. Get some fresh air. Planting seeds. And I mean this literally, not metaphorically. Planting seeds, getting close to nature. You do not need to have a lot of resource or space to be able to do this, but it's a lovely thing to do. And of course, it's something you can do with family. It can be a group activity, but it's just a really nice thing to do, particularly when you can literally reap the fruits of your labors. It's helping to nurture something that isn't involving other people necessarily. Obviously, if there are hobbies that you enjoy, music, crafts and arts, then if you have the time, then practice those more, just being mindful of volume levels, etc. But maybe this is an opportunity for you to take up that hobby that you haven't done for a while in the space of your own timeout space and just take some time for yourself. And decluttering is a wonderful thing. We're all at home, and I don't know about you, but I'm finding myself tripping over clutter that I didn't even realize that I had. And it's actually really therapeutic to start clearing some of that away. It's also, again, something that you can do on your own. You don't necessarily need to have other people around you. So these are just some examples of things that we can all do with other people in the home, but separating ourselves to give ourselves that time out just for that bit of self-care. Now, at the moment, we are able to go out. We might not all be lucky enough to have a vista like this on our doorstep, but maybe there is a park, maybe there is a village green, maybe there is some kind of green space around you. If you have that, please go and use it. Obviously, for the purpose of exercising, don't do what people at the beach did and have barbecues and stuff, because, you know, that's not exercising. But if you are able to go out, whether you're walking the dog or you're doing it for your exercise, I encourage you to do this mindfully. Because when we have such limited access to the outdoors, we can make the most of it by being mindful. I suspect most of you might know what I mean when I say being mindful, but here's an example for those who don't. It means actually using all of your senses in that moment. So if you're walking along the path that's on this picture, notice the sound of your feet on the path and the gravel. Notice the sounds of nature around you, what sounds might be around. Notice the temperature of the air. feel whether the air is still or whether there's a breeze or what you can physically feel. Notice all the different colors that are around you. And if you see something interesting, really pay attention to it. Go and have a look, maybe touch it, smell it. You know, what are the fragrances around? It's allowing your physical body to do what it does best, which is to absorb all of the information from the environment. And when your body does that, particularly in nature, then one, you feel more grounded and connected to the earth. And two, by the absence of threat, you feel safe. And so you can really increase the efficacy of your exercise time by being really mindful about it. And if you imagine the difference in how you feel when you stand in the middle of a city or a man-made place, even if it's empty, and the difference standing on grass or woodland, then that's a difference in the energy that you can get and that you can absorb from around you. So mindful walking in any green spaces is a fantastic thing. Control. So many things that we can't control right now. And when we don't have control as human beings, it means things are uncertain. When things are uncertain, it's unsettling. And let's face it, so much has been unsettling lately. When we have uncertainty, we have fear because we cannot control the outcome. And so we're on high alert. And just naturally, without even trying, the very fact that there is so much out of our control that we worry about enhances our stress and anxiety levels. So how can we flip that? Well, it's very simple, but instead of focusing on what we can't control, lamenting what we can't control, have a think about what you can control. And this will be different for all of us, but here's some suggestions. These are things that you can control. You can control your behaviors. You can control what you do. You can control your conversation. You can control whether you care for yourself. You can control your boundaries. And you can set those boundaries. You have the ability and the power to do that. You can control how you expend your energy. You can control whether you accept the feelings that you have or you try and smush them down and not express them in any way. You have control over what you let go of and what you keep. And some of these things are easier than others. You might find it helpful to actually make your own list what you can control. And it might be very simple things. I can control what I'm eating for my dinner tonight. I can control the remote on the TV. I can control whatever it is. But have a think about what you can control and make that list. And that can help you sometimes in times when you're feeling a bit spinny out of control, like, oh my God, what's the next thing going to be? Focusing on that gives you certainty. And when you have certainty, you have safety. And that's when we feel generally happier. There is also a lot of pressure at the moment. And I hear so many people saying, if you have free time, then write that book. Go and write that song and create this new thing. Sort out the sock drawer, you know, get fit, all that stuff. And that can add a lot of weight of expectation to our daily life that, let's face it, is difficult enough right now. When I hear people saying, you must spend this time doing that, I want to say to them, get lost. Actually, no. All that is required from each of us is to get through this time intact. All we have to do is survive. And we have to help our loved ones survive. That's all we have to do. If you find that you are inspired to write the book or clean out your sock drawer, then great. But if you find, actually, I just want to get through this time, and that's all we can do, then that's absolutely the right way to go. So if you're feeling any pressure or you're hearing messages from go-to coaches saying, do this, do that, and do the other, feel free to ignore them. Remember, you have the power to control your conversation. You have the power to consume what you want to consume. So we'll move on. Routine, very simple thing. But actually, as human beings, we like structure. We like routine because that gives us certainty and that reduces stress. This time of life has been likened to that crimbo limbo, that time between Christmas and New Year when everything goes out the window. And people on this call were saying, I don't know what day it is today. And, you know, that's what happens when routine goes out the window. Bringing some kind of routine back, no matter what that looks like for you, can be really helpful. It can be something to hang your hat on. It's the same for adults as well as children. So scheduling certain things can be brilliant. I do not mean schedule your life to the nearest nanosecond, but do schedule certain things and try and stick to those, because the more of a routine you can create that works for you and your family, the healthier the mindset is going to be. You might start with things like waking up and going to sleep. When you don't have to get the 7 o'clock train to go to work, the temptation can be to sleep in, stay up later. When we're staying up later, then we might sneak in that extra drink or that extra snack. And of course, we know how that impacts us as well. So try and keep some regular wake and sleep times that work for you. Meal times, again, keep them regular. I don't know about you, but I'm finding myself reaching in the fridge a lot more frequently now than I have been before. And a lot of that is boredom. So try and plan meal times and keep in mind health and so on. Keep that routine going. Getting dressed. I love having a pajama day. It's a fantastic thing. And when you can go to work every day in your pajamas, woohoo, brilliant. But doing that every day, again, it just means the days dissolve into each other. And instead of getting dressed properly from the waist up so that I can look professional for my clients, actually dressing all the way through properly is, it does give you a different mindset. So I know this sounds obvious, but these are very easy habits to fall into. Exercise, of course, scheduling time for work and play. The temptation can be when working from home to do even more of it, particularly if you work for someone else, or if you're working for yourself and you're not having that travel time because you're working from home, then we can think, oh, I have all this extra time. Maybe give yourself the break. Instead of traveling, maybe you can focus on doing something nurturing for yourself, something fun, something enjoying, something that brings you joy. Take your breaks, take your time out, and again, think about the boundaries. Boundaries are so important in all of this for all of us. Goes without saying, eat a healthy, balanced diet. I'm not a nutritionist. I'm not going to tell you what to eat. You know what's right for you. What I would say, and again, this is repeated from what people have said to me, I'm going to do this amazing diet. Actually, I would advise against changing your eating habits significantly during this time, because when you change your eating habits, your body recognizes the change, and it can set off all sorts of unconscious fears about scarcity and so on and so forth. So now is probably not the time to make big changes to your diet unless they are healthy ones that are, you know, that are necessary for your health. So obviously keep an eye on the calorie intake. Eat all the colors of the rainbow, all of that stuff. But food is actually a nice thing to focus on with family as well. So if you are stuck for things to do, then cooking and creating new recipes can actually be a fun thing to do that involves working with your hands. And again, you can eat the fruits of your labors. So that's kind of a nice thing. So learning to bake might be on your list if you can get flour anywhere, which I understand is in very short supply right now. Sleeping. We're coming to the end. This is sort of the last section. You'll be pleased to know. So we're almost there, folks. Almost there. Sleeping well is a gift, isn't it? Let's face it. When we don't sleep well, we know about it. So I want to share with you some secrets that aren't really secrets. A lot of them are common sense. But again, they're things that we can very quickly and easily overlook and fall into bad habits. And if you follow these things, you will see an improvement in the quality of your sleep. So routine, we've talked about that already, but in this context, I'm talking about a bedtime routine. So stay away from electronic devices for maybe half an hour to an hour before bed. Stop working before bed. Maybe do something calming and relaxing, or maybe a physical or a mental relaxation exercise. By that, I don't mean go for a run in the evening. If you're going to exercise, try and keep that during the day, because you know that you feel all alive and vibrant afterwards. That's not conducive to falling asleep. So try and avoid heavy evening exercise if you can, and keep your exercise during the day. Try and get as much natural daylight, even if that means looking out of your window if you don't have access to a garden and you can't get out. But keeping that natural daylight helps your brain circadian rhythms keep to night and day, and it helps you establish that usual rhythm of when to sleep and when to stay awake. Don't lie awake in bed. This is a very helpful tip if you're struggling to go to sleep and you're tossing and turning, or maybe you wake up in the night that wonderful 3 a.m. time when you, the whole world is going through your brain and you're trying to resolve it. If you're tossing and turning for more than 20 minutes, you're not able to get to sleep, then try doing this. Get up out of bed. Go into a different room. Turn on a soft light. Maybe put on some soft music, preferably without lyrics. So something soft, something calming. Maybe write down the things that are on your mind. Maybe take your journal out and make a list of all of those things that are going through your mind, because that can really help you. But don't do that in your bed. Do that elsewhere. If you haven't got the worries of the world on your mind and you're just awake, then maybe do a calming activity. Hopefully one that's not involving a screen. So don't put Netflix on, because that just leads to the next episode and the next. But maybe read something, maybe draw something, do a puzzle, whatever works for you. And what you might well find is that after about 20 minutes, half an hour, you'll start feeling a bit drowsier. At that point, go back to bed and try to sleep again. If you find again, bang, you're awake, repeat the process. So get up and out of bed. What you're trying to do is to break the association between lying awake, worrying about the world, and being in your bedroom. Because ideally what we want to create is the feeling of walking into the bedroom and your brain immediately knowing this is where we sleep. This is where we calm. This is where we rest. And that kind of an association can take time, and it does involve changing some habits. But this is a really great one to start with. I hope that makes sense. So speaking of the bedroom, remember the purpose of the bedroom. It's not an entertainment center. I realize this might contradict what I was saying earlier on. If you are trying to find some quiet time, what I would suggest is maybe having the timeout doesn't happen in the evening if you're using your bedroom as your timeout room. Ideally, keep the bedroom at a good temperature. I know it's obvious, isn't it? Keep it quiet, and remember the purpose of your room is to help you rest and be calm. So if you need to make some changes to your bedroom, maybe decluttering it or putting up some blackout curtains or even bin bags for the time being to keep the light out, by all means. A few things to avoid, and again, these are obvious, but they're easy ones to forget. I've got nothing against having a glass of wine of an evening, but if you're struggling to sleep, it's best to substitute it maybe for a herbal tea or just water, something different, because alcohol has all sorts of nasty impacts on the brain. Avoid eating a heavy meal before bed. Caffeine, some of us are more sensitive to it than others. So again, kind of obvious, watch your caffeine intake. And try and avoid backlit reading devices or TV right close to bedtime. All of this stuff, when we put it together, has a bit of a ripple effect. And then if you make one change and you notice a benefit, that can lead to another change. If you start checking in with yourself, if you start journaling how you're feeling, if you start getting some time out, if you start changing the way that you're eating and you refine your routine, all of this stuff adds together to build up a really great place for your mental health to start flourishing, and for you to get through this time largely intact. It also has an impact on the people around you. So when you change for the better, that naturally will impact those around you. So this ripple effect is a wonderful thing, and you can make it go as wide as you want it to. Here are some fantastic resources for helping you online. If you are interested in decluttering, this lady's Facebook page is brilliant. This is what she does. This blog, chatterpack.net, contains so many links to free resources relating to virtual museum tours, education, spirituality, all lots of different interests. There's something there for everyone, adults and kids. I highly recommend you having a look at that. And if you like, I can post the links in the chat when we're finished. There's so much stuff out there, help for kids at home, whether it's education or keeping them entertained. And of course, online workouts. Is it Joe White? Can't remember his name, but it's sudden internet sensation. Everybody's jumping around to this guy, and this is a link to his YouTube channel. It's good fun. If that's not your bag, then try some online yoga or Pilates. There's quite a lot now that is available online. So a colleague of mine is offering a website for kids program, which is a week-long program where she teaches kids how to build websites. There are so many different things out there. So do have a look and avail yourself of the resources. I think now you can stream cats live. You can, you know, there's lots of the West End shows that are being streamed. So I've heard. So you might want an alternative night out in. This is a shameless plug. So forgive me. I tell you now, it's a shameless plug. Coming soon is a program I'm going to be releasing as a self-help program. It's called Sleep Well for Life, believe it or not. It's full of information, tools and practical advice, as well as experiential and psychological tools that all together create a bit of a recipe. And if you follow the recipe, you will sleep better and you will more likely sleep well for life. Shameless plug is over. If anyone's interested in that, please let me know. My last words for you today are simply this. Put your own oxygen mask on first. And that's so important. Because in an emergency, if you can't breathe, you can't help anybody else. And that's what this is like now. You have to be mindful of your own mental well-being and your emotional well-being so that you can then be of care and use to others around you. And if you don't take care of yourself, then that's not going to do them any good. So if you're one of these people that puts other people before yourself, remember this, put your own oxygen mask on first and then you can help others. Please, please do take good care of yourselves during this time. I hope that has been of some use. I will stop talking now. And thank you very much indeed.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, Kate. If you want to unshare your screen, that's fantastic. Has anybody got any questions that they would like to ask on the back of what Kate's just given to us? You can use the chat box in the first instance if you've got a question, and then if we can, I can bring you forward if you need to ask it. Just my own benefit. I mean, just a couple of things that stood out for me were I like the fact that you gave us a reminder of how it was before, because it's so easy for us to go into that space of now is hell and it was so wonderful beforehand, even though it's only a few weeks ago. I mean, I was often referring a similar statistic, but specific on the small business owners, when NatWest did a survey that, but 2018, I think, and that had 56% of small business owners said that their business had a negative impact on their mental well-being. And as you said, you know, that's the numbers that people actually admit to, and the reality is normally a lot higher. And again, I would also stress that mind-body connection. If you feel something not working in your body, and something feels wrong physically, that is going to be connected to something in your head, and it's definitely worth exploring. One tip I heard as well, particularly coming into these sort of the sunnier, springy, summery months, if you go for a walk in the morning when it's nice and bright and sunny, but do not wear sunglasses. Let the natural rays come into your eyes. Because the sunglasses block out some of those important things, and it's a way of telling your brain to wake up and get in a great, great state. So that's a little thing for me. But yes, thank you, Kate. I thought that was really good. There's loads of stuff in there, lots of stuff to take away. So if there doesn't seem to be have any questions. Just tap into the chat room one thing that you have taken from the presentation that you've just heard. One thing that you're either going to think further about or actually going to do. And again, there's one coming on sleep advice, and I think, as you say, there's a lot of common sense things, but these common sense things can slip away very easily, particularly when everything changes. We think it's almost like we have an excuse. It's like, oh well, you know, we're in lockdown, so I'm gonna have more food and more drink and all the rest of it, but it's all more important that we look after these things.
It's all fun and games at first, isn't it? And then
yeah, we're on holiday, yay. But so we got
wow,
bed boundaries, timeout room. Quick question, because I did see a question this in the Facebook group along these lines, and if anyone's got any support from the person in question, please help out. But somebody went for a walk, took the advice, went for a walk into nature, and felt better as a result of it, as they're entitled to do and allowed to do, and then got criticised by a member of their family. And it's actually had a complete reverse effect. So there's a lot of again, it's that pressure thing, but people, if you're doing the right things, but you can get attacked and criticized by the people who aren't really seeing, got the full picture, which is, you know, one of those things in life anyway. What, any thoughts on that and how you manage to deal with attacks from other people, which are unjustified?
I suppose it depends where those attacks are coming from. If they're coming at you because you posted something on Facebook and you've got some troll there saying, you shouldn't be doing that. Well, if you've been obeying the rules, you can either respond to that or you can just blank them. You know, the unfriend is a wonderful thing to do. But if it's within your own home, then obviously that's a big difference of opinion. That's something probably to have a talk about, because it might be that they're not actually criticizing you for what you're doing. They're just letting out their own feelings on something in a different way. So maybe trying to get to the root of what's behind the criticism, when you're perfectly clear that actually I've been following the rules, and you know what, you could do that too if you wanted. So what's the real problem? And rather than rising to the criticism, because like anyone else, if somebody criticizes me, I stop, hang on a minute, you can't say that, you know, stop bristling. It's noticing that by checking in and saying, oh, hang on, I'm noticing a change, I'm bristling. I'm not thinking clearly, and I might say something in a way that I would regret later. It's sort of like taking a step back, taking a literal deep breath. Is now the time for this conversation, or is it just a time to say, look, I hear what you're saying, I need to think about it, let's talk about it later. And then actually going back to the conversation and talking about it later. And in that way, you can avoid that confrontation, but you can also plan what you want to say and how you might respond best, and hopefully help that other person with whatever issues they're dealing with if they feel the need to peck your head about something that isn't really fair.
Excellent. Yeah, okay. So again, it's what you said, it's checking in, communication and boundaries, and it's all playing in those little spaces. Fantastic. Well, we've hit 10:30, so if we've got no questions, thank you for everybody for sitting in and listening to that. I thought it was really good. I will take the recording and put it in the Facebook group. Katie, do you want to put those links into the Facebook group as well, not into the chat, but into the Facebook group later?
Yeah, sure.
For those of you, I saw a couple of people have applied to join the group. I would ask that you answer the questions that come up with the Facebook group, because one of those includes the confidentiality element. So to join the Breathing Space group, I do need you to confirm the rules, if nothing else. I will be back here same time next week. It's Bank Holiday Monday, so I do appreciate that some of you might not show up, but then others will. It's totally up to you. So I'll be here. You are more than welcome to join in. I will anticipate slightly less. What I will ask the people is, if you've got any questions about your own situation, about your business, about anything that's going on, or fears or concerns going forward, you know, let's explore and discuss them. You can ask them in the Facebook group anyway. And we can discuss them in there, but send them to me or message me directly through Facebook, set questions to me, or turn up and we can explore them in the group. If there's anybody else listening that would has their own thoughts or ideas that they would like to get across, then and would like to do a similar presentation to Kate, it might just be 5 minutes, it might be 15, it might be half an hour, whatever you want to do. If you're in a space, whether it's business, whether it's personal, whatever, just let me know. I'm more than happy for you to share your experiences with the other people in the room. So other than that, thank you very much, Kate. I really appreciate that. Some great stuff in there. I hope everyone seems to have got some great stuff out of it.
Thank you for inviting me.
No,
appreciate it.
And so much you said resonates and tapped in the sort of thing that we've known each other a while. That's why we get on so well, I guess. think very similarly.
Great minds. Think alike.
So look out for the breathing spaces are still running. If anybody wants to come along with those, I've moved them around a little bit so they've consolidated a few. So I'll put some stuff in the Facebook group about that. My next version of the podcast goes out today as well. It's called The Tingle Zone. So I'll share around that one with a fun, positive message coming through from the person I'm interviewing on that one, which is good fun. Otherwise, I wish you all a fantastic week. Go and be positive, find the ways of getting the best out of the situation we're in, and those of you who are back here on Monday, I will see you back on Monday, but in the meantime we'll be in touch every day through Facebook or whatever we need to do. So fantastic, thank you very much, and I will see you later.
Thank you.